Hi Razor community, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Razor Sharp Show, where we all hang out to stay sharp. We are your hosts, Ray Milodoni and Matt Romania. Matt, can you share why our podcast exists?
Our podcast exists to educate, inspire, and motivate you to help you reach your goals and make a positive impact in the world.
That's right. And we just love making our podcast every week and want to thank you, our listeners, for all the ongoing support you have shown. If this is your first time listening, well, welcome to the Razor community.
So if you want to move the needle forward and get closer to your goals, stick around as you're going to enjoy this.
In today's show, we meet Natasha Denman, who is the owner of the Ultimate 48-Hour Author. Natasha is a author herself and has helped over 120 entrepreneurs become published authors. She has written 7 books via the Ultimate 48-Hour Author system, and she's also a mum of 3 who are all under 7. Today's show is absolutely amazing. Natasha covers some tips and tricks on how to get published and authored, and talks about how her business has helped change so many entrepreneurs' lives, and she also has a bonus gift for the Razor Sharp community. So listen out for that during the show. It's absolutely a pleasure to interview Natasha today. So without further ado, I absolutely had fun interviewing Natasha today. She's full of energy and you'll enjoy this interview. So let's jump into it. Hi, Natasha, and welcome to the Razor Sharp Show. How have you been?
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Are you ready to sharpen some saws?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, cool. Excellent. So, Natasha, why don't you share with the Razor community a little bit about what you do and how you've been doing it?
Awesome. Yeah, so I've been in business now 6 years, nearly at my 6-year anniversary, and awesome. I run a company called Ultimate 48-Hour Author, and we help service-based business owners publish their books in just 48 hours. So wow. It's really quick.
Yes. Yeah, excellent.
And a lot of fun.
Perfect. I think that's exactly how entrepreneurs want to operate, you know, get things done quickly. And yeah. So what started the business? Was it a book that you wanted to get published? How did it all kind of begin?
Yes. So in year one, I qualified as a life coach and I didn't really have a niche. And I happened to have a meeting with a printer who told me at the time, after hearing what my passion was around mindset and human behavior, I have a degree in psychology and psychophysiology. He said, you know so much about this stuff, you should definitely write a book. It'll be your business card on steroids. And yeah. I thought, oh my God, I think he's right. Like, I literally didn't need any convincing, and I went on the journey of writing my first book, which then developed interest started coming in from other health and wellness practitioners, because the first book was on weight loss, The 7 Ultimate Secrets to Weight Loss. And other people started saying, how did you do this? How do you develop programs and all this sort of stuff? And that's how it slowly over the following 3.5 years, it developed and it ended up being the Ultimate 48-Hour Author program now.
For people starting their own business this year or even this month or even today, what do you think are the most important things to focus on during this startup period?
Your own personal development. I think startup businesses actually need more of a personal development approach to get over themselves and be able to control their mind and how they think before they can go into any business strategy. So often I have found that people need more life coaching than they need business coaching to begin with. In business, of course, you need both of those. But if you don't do any personal development, you'll be in a lot of trouble. So I had my own mentor 3 months into my journey. And I, reflecting back on that, more of what we worked on was actually me building new beliefs of what was possible and getting through all the mental funk that you can go through in that first 12 months to actually then get to more business strategy. So yeah, that's what I think. Personal development, even though it's such a huge world out there and people go, oh, yeah, how boring, right? But it's super powerful.
So, you know, there's lots of ups and downs. Can you share with the Razor community a story where maybe sometimes things haven't gone to plan and you feel like maybe you've failed forward or been a bit deflated, and how did you get through it?
Oh my God. There's been many, many moments, and I'm not going to remember all of them.
No.
But the most recent one, I'll share with you the most recent one. It was after I had, it was only like 6 weeks ago. you think like I'm generating a seven-figure income and I don't have bad days of feeling like I'm a failure. It happens at every stage of this game. I was at Perth Airport waiting for my plane to come across to Adelaide, and I had just hosted two of my signature half-day events, from which then people choose to decide into our retreats. And I had 16 people in one, 21 in the other, and 17 collectively out of those wanted to qualify into a retreat, which meant a half an hour one-on-one conversation with all those people. And not one person confirmed that they would like to come along, right? And I felt like I worked so hard, so many, really, really hot conversations. And then I was sitting there at the airport and received an email that someone pulled out of one of my Melbourne events that had committed a week before. So not only had I travelled so far, I was minus one at this stage, and I just started crying and going, this is, I'm hopeless, I don't know how to sell, I'm a failure, this business, I can't keep going like this anymore. And then the next day in Adelaide, I felt like, oh, it's just going to happen the same thing. And the morning of Adelaide event, one person from Perth had confirmed, which made me feel a little bit better. And then after Adelaide, but then I have to keep remembering that there's sometimes a lag behind what happens until you have the conversations and the things. So I ended up confirming four authors from their trip, except at that moment it felt like I had done 33 events and a very, very slow start, and I just felt like, oh my God, like, what is it that I'm not doing right? What is it that I'm not saying right? And I was distraught. Like, I just wanted to throw the towel in and I go, Natasha, I talked myself out of it. I said to myself, you know that you're the person that's going to feel like shit, but you're going to get up tomorrow and you're going to do it all again. And yep. I did. And I got through that. And now after my 15-day trip on Queensland, I confirmed 10 authors and some on the spot. Like, that was like huge, massive, massive.
Massive. Yeah. Excellent. And that's a great...
Yeah, and you mentioned in episode 4 of the Razor Sharp Show that, you know, you've studied psychology and that mindset is definitely important to you. Mm. Can you tell the Razor community a little bit more about mindset? Like, I mean, as business owners, is there something we can be doing every day to keep our focus sharp, or is there something we should be doing every month, or how best do you approach the mindset?
Definitely in the first couple of years, I think it's daily practice of building new habits, that daily practice of referring to your goals, reading affirmations. I mean, I used to have laminated affirmations in my shower, in both our showers, and I used to read them. And I modeled them from people that I admired, and they had shared what theirs were. So then I kind of made a list of my top 10 and 12 combination of what theirs were. Some I completely copied, and I'll go, yep, I like that one, so I'll keep that. And gratitude. So I used to do a lot of like daily gratitude stuff that I would write down, just because I think that made me focus on what I already had to be grateful for rather than what was missing. And then going through and listening to other people's stories that you're not the only person that's got the fear that needs to step out of your comfort zone, and listening. I guess I went to a lot of seminars, a lot of webinars, a lot of books. I got to a point where I was reading pretty much a book a week.
Wow.
And it was just immersing yourself. It was kind of like a whole embedding a whole new life and thinking, moving from an employee to a business owner mindset. And yeah, good hardcore for those first 2 years. I must say nowadays I dabble in and out of all of those things that I just mentioned, because I feel that I'm well balanced. I feel that I have got all of that embedded in my DNA almost, because it takes, I don't know if you know these stats, but it takes 1,000 times of repetition or 2 to 3 years to build a new neural pathway. So when you think about, if you've, say for example, I had always sporadically done exercise for years on and off, like, you know, I'll do it for, 2 months, and then I won't do it for 6 months, and I'll do it for 2 months and then for 6 months. But last year at in the start of December, I hired my personal trainer and actually committed to her for a whole year. because I thought if I have someone that I have to turn up for and get up and do it, and my goal was to exercise four times a week, so I wouldn't like fall off the wagon, say, after 2 months because I had paid for some, invested in someone to help me. I'm now 8 months in and I feel like how the hell did I ever not even do exercise for long periods of time? So I know that neural pathway is becoming much stronger. But I know also that I have to, until I'm through that 2 or 3 year mark of doing it consistently, I know I'm not out of the, sort of woods of, those old behaviors propping their, ugly head. So that's what I meant when I said for business, like those first three, somewhere between 2 or 3 years, depending on the person, that sort of focused effort on creating that new neural pathway of how you think, what you need to do, how you organize your time. It takes up a lot of, mental space, but the outcomes at the other end are super amazing and you can handle anything in your life.
When did you know that you were wired for business?
Oh, I didn't. I was, there wasn't a choice when I had to start in business. My husband had lost the business, which was like our defining moment in March of 2010. And it was a shock. So I kind of went, what the hell are we going to do? And I felt like I needed to take, if I wanted to be successful and have enough to create the choice in my life, that I would have to take responsibility and not sort of wait on someone else to do it for me. I was working at the time, and then I enrolled into a course that said I could work part-time hours and generate six-figure income. So I said, oh, well, I'll go and learn how to do that.
Yeah, nice. Excellent. And then it just never stopped.
And it never stopped. It just kept getting crazier and crazier. And back then I thought that was such a huge achievement to get to six figures, never imagining that I would ever be able to also generate seven. But it's happened as you grow. I think you set those goals that stretch you more and more, and you keep achieving greater things.
Yeah, excellent. And have you found that being around the right people has influenced your way of living and how you've grown into the entrepreneur that you are today?
Yeah, I believe so, because I invested in a lot of mentors and a lot of courses and went out networking to surround myself with business people, because I did not know one business owner prior to starting the business. So I really needed to build a network. And by surrounding myself with those people, I grew and outgrew a lot of them. And but I continued to educate and stretch and collaborate. And it's interesting how the more successful you become, the higher quality people and connections you end up attracting in your life.
Just then you mentioning, about how now you've got accountability for how you exercise now, and that very much ties into what you said before about getting a life coach to hold you accountable for, the way you build the daily habits before you can even get to, professional development to do, with your business. You need to focus on yourself first. Did you have any, because that might be a bit daunting as well for a lot of our listeners who just want to get straight into making sales or making calls and, getting out there. I feel like a lot of people might feel uncomfortable or feel like it's a waste of time or, money to spend on a life coach. And I know I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit, but what would you say to that?
Well, I hired my coach not as a life coach, as a business coach, but mostly what we did was life coaching because that's what I needed at the time. And yes, you can certainly hire business coaches, have skills, obviously, to do life coaching as well. You don't actually stop taking action in your business and you just work on yourself. That's something not to be mistaken. You're still hustling. You're still networking. You're still marketing. You're still doing sales. But also a big percentage of your time you're spending on working on your thoughts and how you think. So that's where it's not to be mistaken, like your confidence and you working on yourself comes through doing the actions for the business as well as that additional time you spend on personal development.
And I definitely feel that that's a common theme that when I meet different entrepreneurs, and I've seen that experience in my life as well. And it is very refreshing to meet new people and kind of be challenged and get new mentors and outgrow. And it's definitely, you know, the journey of progression and definitely gets you closer to your goals. Now, without your own books, is there a book or a podcast that you've listened to that has changed your life and why?
Well, the book that I believe triggered something maybe well before I started in business was when I used to work for OPSM at a conference. I heard a lady, a keynote speaker by the name of Terry Hawkins, and she had written a book, There Are Two Times in Life, Now and Too Late. And she's more in the retailing niche, like delivering programs for retailers and all that sort of stuff. So back then I purchased that book and I reckon I read it 4 or 5 times and gave it to 100 people. Yes. I still have the copy all chewed up here. So that I think it triggered something in me that day when I listened to her do her keynote saying, oh, my God, that looks like so much fun. I'd love to be doing what she's doing. How does someone do that? I wonder, you know, how does someone do that? And literally 10 years later, I was at a retail conference, well, this year and last year that I got invited back for. I was doing a keynote on social media for them. So I was doing what she did back then. Podcast-wise, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but I was an Entrepreneur on Fire. Prior to that, a year earlier, I had listened to that podcast for, I don't know, 5 or 10 episodes. I thought it was cool. I just don't get enough time to listen. So that one I liked, but then I actually also ended up being a guest on it. So it was really cool.
Awesome. Excellent. John Lee Dumas, amazing podcaster, and EO Fire is definitely a podcast that has inspired me to start the Razor Sharp Show. So excellent. Yeah. So that book will end up on our book list on the website. So I think you make a really good point that a great book is one that's been, you know, loved and shared around. And, you know, books aren't, they look good on a bookshelf, but unless they've been actually circulated and used, that's definitely where their power is. And, you know, a great gift that you can do is be inspired by a book and get someone else reading it and changing their life as well, which is, I guess, you know, quite interesting to, you know, you publishing books as well and creating that momentum of other people inspiring and touching lives.
And on mindset still, is there such thing as a fear of success?
Yeah, totally. Because I think people think if I become successful, I think a lot of people have this frame around it that means they'll be busier. Mm. And what that means is that they will not have time to do the things that they now enjoy in their life if they're a parent. So that's one way people think success means being too busy, therefore not having a life and I'll be unhappy. So I won't go there. Or success means I'll be criticized and stand out, which some personalities are not out there wanting to stand out. So therefore they keep themselves small because if they're successful, success equals standing out and being known and therefore being open and vulnerable to criticism and sabotage. So those two, I guess, beliefs that are very strong out there amongst people is what I think keeps them from really backing themselves and stepping into their success.
In terms of advice to overcome the fear of success, I mean, how did you have that fear and how did you go about dealing with it, you know, in the first year where everything's all new and different?
Yeah, for me, it was a little bit, not so much fear of success. I think it was the imposter syndrome, like almost like, do I know enough or am I saying the right things? Is what I'm saying right or wrong, or, you know, like kind of other people find out that I actually don't know that much. Those kind of doubts and fears were probably propping up more in my head. I think I've always wanted and were driven to stand out and be very social with people. So that wasn't my issue. It was more, I kind of think, am I coaching people the right way? Because obviously I started out as a life coach and then niched in weight loss. And I go, am I right? Asking the right questions? Are they creating the changes? Like having all those doubts. And I think it's all false. It doesn't exist. What we're doing just by simply being in a room with someone, we're creating a change for them because you're just changing their environment. You're just that other person that if you weren't there to ask a certain question, that would have never been asked that question. So there's no right or wrong questions. There's no right or wrong advice. You can just, as long as you know that what you're sharing has helped you or someone else, then why not share it? So that's how I get to I think about it. And how do other people overcome the fear of success? Again, get coached on it. You know, what's your perhaps deeper meaning that you're placing on it behind it? Because the problem's not the problem, right? And there's so much more that's going on underneath it. So I haven't got one clear-cut answer for you on how to overcome it, but I think you don't know what you don't know, and don't, I guess, assume it's going to be a certain way, because often you'll be surprised. It's success can mean working a lot less, having a way more quality time, way more holidays. We have 3 to 4 months of holidays per year now, the last 3 years. And it can mean have like choices. Like we don't worry about what our next bill is or whether this month's electricity bill is $200 more than last quarter. Who cares, right? We are grateful that we received that service, and we just pay for what we receive, the value we've received. And so there's nothing like that that exists once you have choice.
So obviously you're a mother of 3 kids, children mm-hmm. under 7, is that right?
Yeah.
How do you stay focused and balance that? Is there family time, business time, or is it all kind of meshed together and you've worked a way of doing it all in one?
Yeah. So certainly in the first 2.5 years, I would say there wasn't very much balance, where I was just studying, being mentored, going to trainings, trying to get the business off the ground and make it viable. And that's where I had to sacrifice a lot of time, where I needed to focus on the weekends and did the best I could to balance it. However, once we've now got it going and we're into like more of a routine, if you like, we do have, as I said to you, about 3.5 months off the year where we go away like for a whole month, or we just went away on the Anzac Day weekend to a trip. Easter, any long weekends, we're always somewhere away from home. It's work hard, play hard. So there's intense periods where, like, I was 2 weeks in Queensland, I didn't see my family. I just worked morning to night. Then it's going to be a whole month where we're together. So that's how balance is achieved in our family, and also the fact that my husband is part of our business, but mostly his number one focus is to make sure he's the nurturer and he cooks and looks after those school drop-offs and pickups, say 80% of the time. So we're 80-20. Is home and children and family, 20% business. I would say I'm 80 business and 20 in that role. So it's well-aligned values with us too.
Awesome. Fantastic. Excellent. And so let's jump in a little bit more about your weekends and your programs. And so what are some of the tips that you can share with the Razor community in regards to getting published in 48 hours? And what's something that they could learn at your events or being more closely around you?
Yeah. So the biggest secret, and it's not—it's so obvious that people don't even realize as to how it gets done so quickly, and that is that people speak out their book. So obviously they don't speak from the top of their heads. We have a system on how to unpack their book, and we actually demonstrate this book unpack system in our signature half-day events we run all over the country. So after the book unpack, we go into a chapter unpack, which is a template and a system behind it. So it really gives people almost like, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. Like, this is how you do it. It's really, really, when people come to me and work with me, they go, we didn't realize it was going to be this simple. So we speak out the books, and about 7 hours of speaking will actually give you around 40 to 45,000 words, which is your standard 160-page book. So we actually don't do it in 48. We do it in 7. The other time, we actually teach a lot of marketing. So my program is heavily weighed 30% about getting the book from start to finish, and 70% what the hell do you do with it now? So awesome. So that's the other time and the other focus that we do with our authors.
Oh, that's fantastic. So not only do you get the book published, but you also give the marketing method to get people to sell what's now initially a secret. So, you know, getting that out
Yeah, I think my program has about 5 or 6 high-end programs blended into one. Because so many other components beyond the book publishing, like publicity and further product development, social media, all of that stuff, you have to get good at in order to spread the message and gain that fame and recognition for the book.
Awesome, awesome. And do you have many authors that get the bug and then they, you know, publish more than one?
They do. We've only been doing this for 2.5 years, and so we've had authors for the last 2 years out. So they're still all in the early game. But a lot of the ones that did retreat 1, 2, or 3 are speaking about, and some of them have done a second book. It is addictive. Like, I'm about to publish my 7th, so I've done pretty much one a year. Yeah.
Wow, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Aside from mindset and, you know, fear of success and imposter syndrome, are there anything else that business owners you think really need to make a priority to watch out for in those early years? Like, are there a couple of stumbling blocks you could point out?
Well, priority must be that you have to get out of the house and not hide behind your computer. You must go and meet people. And you have to get known, as I say, get famous offline, and turn up and turn up and turn up and keep building new relationships. Because when I started out, I did not know one other business owner, which meant that I was starting from absolute ground zero. Like, I was just an employee and I did not know one person who had a business. The second thing is that not only are you making personal development a priority for you to get through your own, you know, stuff and baggage that you're carrying in your subconscious, but also you must make marketing a priority, marketing and sales, and learning how to, you know, you might have your expertise, which for me was obviously the coaching world, and, you know, have a degree in psychology and I have all this knowledge about it. And so what if I had all that knowledge? If I didn't know, if I didn't learn and went to marketing masterclasses and all that sort of stuff to get myself sort of aware of what are the things, how do I need to promote myself, how do I need to post on social media, how do I create products and all of those kind of things, get people into my sales funnel. If I didn't almost spend just as much time on those things, I wouldn't have had no revenue or no business at all. So a lot of people go, but I'm so passionate about helping other people, but I just don't like to market myself. And I go, well, you won't help anyone at all. So you pretty much need to graduate in a master's of, you know, a business and a marketing and sales. You have to get that kind of a degree as well on top of your expertise, whatever degree you have got, whether it's kinesiology, health and wellness, whatever, you know, whoever you are, financial advisor, you have to also then graduate in, you know, the master of business and marketing and sales.
Absolutely. And, you know, I did want to ask you about your personal brand as well, and how you think our listeners can build their own strong personal brand and really, you know, leverage this to grow their business, like make it a main component.
I think people buy people, so unless you get liked and known and trusted, they're not going to buy no matter what you offer in your business. So they're going to buy you, number one. And that is why working on that as your first thing, like what I do in my life and for myself becomes the service that I end up offering down the line. So I'm always creating products that would have helped me, say, a few years back. Like when I was writing my first book, I would have loved my book, which is the Ultimate 48 Hours, a book, of course, because I didn't want to slave away and type at a computer and go through everything that I went through with the first book. I would have loved that solution that 48 Hour Author provides. And then I wrote a book called 1,000 Days to $1 Million Coaching Business from Home. And that was the book that I would have loved to have to know what path to follow back when I started 4 years before writing that book. So the personal branding, and often all of us don't get into a certain business unless that we have a story. You know, we've overcome something for ourselves. Doesn't matter if it's a lawyer or a accountant, they have still overcome something for themselves and they've worked out how to be so good at it. And they're now that expert status that other people look up to them. So I often get my clients, or when people are thinking about niching, I often get them to ask themselves this question, and that is, what do other people see in you that they want for themselves? And that's what you build your brand around. You know, people saw me writing books and then doing it really rapidly, then they wanted to know how I did that. Therefore, you create something around it, and you never create anything until you sell it. So you certainly can present the proposal, when you're going to do it and all that, but until that first person has bought your thing, do not create it, because that's just it's silly, and you'd be spending so much time wasted if you haven't been paid for it. Once you get paid for it, it's worthwhile creating it.
Now, keeping on the theme of honesty, how many business ventures as an entrepreneur have you actually done?
Oh, let me count. Miara's Coaching, Ultimate Weight Loss, Ultimate Business Edge, cutting it. I think about 6 or 7 until awesome. I got to my $1 million idea.
Perfect. And that Razor community is definitely, you know, true with a lot of the interviews that we've done, that, you know, there is always going to be times where you need to kind of have a different business, and also the ability to pivot, which is a good part, you know, where you don't throw away what you've done. You just pivot the business and set in a different tone. I had similar journeys. I'm on 7, I think. So it's definitely, you know, lots of fun, lots of learning, but you're always constantly changing, and eventually you get closer to your $1 million one, or you achieve it, and then you set yourself new goals. So fantastic. What is something that you could change in the world right now if you could?
People's way of thinking. I think it's mindset is huge, and if I can because I speak a lot, I'm already on a mission to do that, to get more self-awareness out there and remove the blame and finger-pointing that tends to occur. So, yeah.
Awesome. Love that. You know, definitely bringing success to significance is something that I've been reading a lot about lately, is, you know, once you become successful, how can you go and change the world? And you made a good point before with the Kardashians. While they are, you know, seem not so great in most people's eyes, they are definitely working really hard. And a lot of, you know, singers and success, you know, in the pop culture, they are really truly changing lives behind the scenes. It's just the media doesn't always cover that side of their story. It's always about the gossip and the rumor. But there's always more significance to a lot of people's lives once they get into that successful state. So excellent. What's a website that you visit daily to survive?
Oh, I don't really. I don't visit maybe Facebook. That's a website, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I do follow a lot of what you do, and you definitely use Facebook in a way where it doesn't waste time, but you use it to leverage, you know, your business and share golden nuggets, and, you know, live streams is something that you're doing a lot now. And that's great, because it's given, you know, me as a viewer an insight to how your events run, and definitely, you know, teases, you know, what's going on, and, you know, FOMO kicks in. It's like, oh, what else am I missed out on, you know?
Totally.
So I love that. So keep them coming.
Again, on a personal brand, like, what kind of team do you need to put together around your brand to build a $1 million business?
Well, of course, people who align with your values and who will work with your clients or service your clients the way you would. Mm. So, of course, in our business, it's myself and my husband. But now when we've calculated actually all the people that work with us, like my Facebook ads guy, and then I've got the publishing company where we have a professional photographer as well as the whole publishing team. And then we've got, I've got my virtual assistant. Mm. You know, when I start to think about who are all the people that are involved, then, and my collaborative partners, like Francesca, who we wrote a book together with, like, she's got a lot to do with my business. And our authors sometimes crew for us, for example, at future retreats that, you know, now they've graduated, they come back and help. So as I look at it, there might be, may not be paying per the hour staff, like, aside from, say, my virtual assistant, but my husband and I, like, obviously we just get paid for the profits of the business. Mm. But the other people who help us in more service kind of ways, and they have a connection with our clients, they have to live and breathe how we, you know, our three values are fast, fun, and fame. So you have to work fast. You got to respond to people as fast as we would respond to them. Mm. Like, say, for the example, the publishing company. If someone contacts you and has a question, you got to respond to them immediately, like pretty much within the 24 hours. Or, you know, you need to be fast. You can't be leaving things. Otherwise, they're getting a mismatch of service quality. Mm. It needs to be fun. That's why we do retreats, and we create a lot of fun events that people can keep coming back to, and it's got to be fast. So we've got to get you from A to B, like writing a book in 48 hours fast, because I get too bored and I can't be bothered, you know, just, you know, months and years later, you know, getting to a result. So, yeah, and our underlying value is family, because we do bring in a lot of people into our home to do private events, intimate, up to 10 people. We've used our current house probably for 30 training days for the last 10 months since we've been in. And we also drive people to a retreat. Like, they arrive at the airport, we pick them up from the airport, we'll drive them to the retreat. Like, our numbers is not thousands. We work with about 80-odd people a year through our retreats and things that we do. So we'll go that extra mile, and that's the kind of thing that people expect from us, and they appreciate it and they know it, and then they become raving fans for life.
So we're coming towards the tail end of the interview, so thank you very much for sharing all your success and tips and tricks along the way with the Razor community. Just remind the Razor community the website that they can go with your special gift for us.
Yeah, so it's ultimate48hourauthor.com.au/gift. And 48 is as in the number. So, that's where you can go and grab it.
Links will be below in the show notes. Is there something that you want to leave the Razor Sharp community thinking about as they finish up the podcast?
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess it's an insight that I shared earlier, that don't be too precious on anything. Change it if it's not working. And one thing I want you to start noticing is to know if you're taking enough action, because sometimes people think they're taking action, but they're actually not really going at a rate that's going to get them to the success they will be. And this is something that was really put into perspective actually from the same author that I shared earlier, Show Don't Tell. He actually said, how you notice if you're taking massive action is when other people start commenting on your activity levels. So are other people commenting on your activity levels? Because I can tell you, Ray, people think I'm crazy. They see me. They go, we see you all over the place. They comment on my Facebook saying, oh, my God, this and that. So this has been happening for years now. Like, they think, you know, oh, she's so super busy, super, you know, action taken, all that sort of stuff. That's how I know that I am taking enough action and it's massive enough. So perhaps leave them thinking with that.
Awesome. That is fantastic parting advice. So thank you very much for that. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, Natasha. The Razor community definitely will love hearing your stories and what you've shared with us today. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you for having me.
No problems. And always be learning and stay sharp.
The Razor Sharp Show is brought to you by Podcast Launch Co. Podcasting tips, tools, and coaching. Visit www.podcastlaunch.co.